Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Was thinking of your smile. Maybe that's what brings you back for just a little while. When I think that sunsets may not ever be the same, then I know, that's when I know you're deep inside.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 466. I'm Amy Matheny. I'm flying solo. And wow, here we go, I am so excited. I have been listening to this woman sing and entrance audiences and delight. She's so effervescent. It's like a long flute of bubbly champagne. I'm talking about Spider Saloff and how excited I am to interview her for the first time. I heard her many, many years ago when I was new to Chicago, and I'm so excited to have an opportunity to sit down with her today and talk with her about her new one-woman show, something that she has not done in the city of Chicago ever before. We think of her as a jazz club cabaret standard singer, and now she is doing something wholly different, but still performing and entrancing us and enchanting us. So Spider Saloff on the show today. And also we've got some GLBT news. I'm flying solo on that as well. Kirk Williamson, my cohort in crime, is a little sick. And so I asked if I could go it alone. And I said, sure, because he's so great to be on the show with me every week, bringing me the great news from Windy City Times. So I'll be bringing you the news. Richard Knight Jr. is joining me. He's about to make a movie himself. That we're going to be filming here in Chicago. However, he's got a movie review about a non-urban but far more rural film. Might be a little chilling as the weather has been a bit crisp here in the end latter days of April. Cabin in the Woods. And what does Richard Knight Jr. think about this phenom of a film? And what's going on in the theater scene? It's starting to perk up just a little bit. So what is going on and what are the shows that you can catch as we head into the last days of spring and falling into summer? And everybody, I hope you're having a good time, because the next time next show will be into the month of May, and I cannot believe it. It has been a bit of a trick, right, that we had this gorgeous weather in February and March, and somehow it just made winter all the more bearable if you're living in Chicago. Now, I know people in other parts of the world have had also crazy weather, and sometimes that has not worked in your favor, but in Chicago and the Windy City, it has worked in our favor, so we will take it. I'm heading off to Memphis next week, and I'm very excited about that, but let's get started on this show and kick back, put up your feet. Stretch out, maybe pour a little glass of something, turn down the lights, and let's listen to Spider Saloff today on the Queercast.
The Joffrey Ballet brings passion and romance in Spring Desire with works by beloved choreographers. Edward Liang's critically acclaimed Age of Innocence expresses the strength of the human spirit. Jerome Robbins' In the Night is lush and exquisitely romantic. And don't miss Incantations, a world premiere by Val Cataparoli, who Dance Magazine calls a choreographer of uncommon ability and rare dramatic vision. The Joffrey Ballet's Spring Desire at Chicago's Auditorium Theater, April 25th through May 6th. For tickets, phone 800-982-2787 or visit joffrey.org. 800-982-2787 or visit joffrey.org.
I'm Amy Matheny, and this is the Weekend News. UCLA researchers have announced that they have developed stem cells that can be genetically engineered to attack HIV-infected cells in a living being. In 2009, scientists said they believe stem cells could be engineered to kill HIV. In Texas, a new report shows that Dallas County's rate of new HIV infections hit a five-year high in 2010. Dallas County also recorded its highest total number of new HIV cases since 2005 and had the highest HIV infection rate of any urban county in the state. In Colorado, 20-year-old college student Peter Smith has pled guilty to a lesser charge of disturbing the peace after attempting to glitter bomb GOP presidential candidate Mitt Romney. Prosecutors dismissed a more serious charge of throwing a missile. The student added he doesn't regret his protest but would opt for a different method next time. Gay Iowa teenager Kenneth Wyshoon Jr. has committed suicide after classmates made death threats on his cell phone and made him the subject of a Facebook hate group. Classmates at South O'Brien High School started teasing and bullying him after Wyshoon, age 14, came out of the closet earlier this year. In Chicago, the Board of Trustees of Roosevelt University has extended the contract of openly gay President Chuck Middleton for another 5 years until June 2017. Middleton serves on the boards of the Director of the Council for Adult and Experiential Learning and Center on Halstead, where he is board vice chair, and he is co-chair of the LGBTQ Presidents in Higher Education. Transgender couple Seamus Johnson, age 22, and Catherine Ann McCloskey, age 55. The couple was subpoenaed to appear in federal court in connection with a bomb investigation at the University of Pittsburgh. The couple contends that the school is unfairly targeting them because Johnston, a transgender male, was expelled from the University of Pittsburgh. Johnston for taking a stand against discriminatory bathroom policies. Johnston has filed a civil lawsuit against the university and is appealing his expulsion. Pat Summitt, the winningest coach in college basketball history, is stepping down from her position with the Tennessee Lady Vols. The development came less than a year after revealing she had early onset dementia. Longtime assistant Holly Warlick will take over for Summitt. Out Magazine has laid off its entire editorial staff with 1 month's severance. However, editor-in-chief Aaron Hicklin is hiring back a number of editors on a contractual basis to an editorial agency he has founded called Grand Editorial. Well, the Don't Say Gay bill has advanced in the Tennessee House. The House Education Committee passed the measure, which would prohibit the teaching of gay issues to elementary and middle school students. The bill's sponsor says he decided to move his bill again after a survey of his district showed well over 95% don't want homosexuality discussed in those grade levels. A transgender woman has been found apparently murdered in West Garfield Park, Chicago. Paige Clay, age 23, was found in an alley on the 4500 block of West Jackson Avenue on April 16th. Police did not identify Clay. Rather, several community members confirmed her identity as she had received services at local LGBT agencies and was known in Chicago's ball scene. In Ohio, members of a Boy Scout troop and their parents are protesting the ouster of lesbian den leader Jennifer Tyrell. The Tiger Cubs group recently protested outside the church where it held meetings in the town of Bridgeport. Tyrell had been a den leader for about a year. Scout executive Bob Drury said Tyrell is still permitted to be involved with the scout, but just as a parent. And in world news, Saudi Arabia has asked its Commission for the Promotion of Virtue and Prevention of Vice to banish gay and tomboy students from schools and universities. The Arabic language paper Shark noted instructions have been issued to all public schools and universities to ban the entry of gays and tomboys and to intensify their efforts to fight homosexuality, which has been promoted by some websites. Homosexuality is already considered a capital offense in the country. In Halifax, Nova Scotia, authorities are investigating the beating of a prominent gay rights activist. Raymond Tavel, age 49, was attacked when he attempted to break up a fight between two men. Andrew Noel Denny, who had failed to return to a local psychiatric facility after being granted a one-hour pass, was arrested and charged with second-degree murder. In Israel, the Masorti movement of Judaism will ordain gay and lesbian students as conservative rabbis starting the next academic year. The Board of Trustees voted to accept gay and lesbian students for ordination beginning the 2012-2013 academic year. Prague will hold its second Pride event August 13th through 19th with entertainment, debates, concerts, exhibitions, and more. The event took place for the first time last year. And in entertainment news, the Bravo reality series Shaws of Sunset, which recently concluded its season, has been renewed for a second one. The Ryan Seacrest-produced series drew a high of 1.5 million viewers for its finale. Openly gay cast member Riza Farahan has become a breakout star of Shaws. ABC may have canceled soap operas All My Children and One Life to Live, but it's saving General Hospital. The move ensures that General Hospital will celebrate its 50th anniversary next year. Former BG Robin Gibb, age 62, is gravely ill with pneumonia in a London hospital. The Bee Gees shot to stardom in the 70s with disco-era hits such as How Deep Is Your Love and Night Fever. The Hunger Games star Josh Hutcherson, age 19, was the youngest actor to receive the GLAAD Vanguard Award. Hutcherson, who was also in the lesbian-themed drama The Kids Are All Right, co-founded Straight But Not Narrow, which urges heterosexual males to positively influence views on LGBT teens. He also recently revealed that he had two uncles die of AIDS during the height of the epidemic. Late singer-songwriter Laura Nyro was inducted into the Hall of Fame, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, in Cleveland April 14th. Among the bisexual musician's hits were Stoned Soul Picnic and Up on the Roof. Dick Clark, the television host who introduced millions to music via American Bandstand, died April 18th at the age of 82. Clark also hosted his New Year's Rockin' Eve annually, even after suffering a stroke in 2004. Nicolette Sheridan has won a retrial date for her Desperate Housewives wrongful termination lawsuit. The judge rejected ABC and Disney's motion to dismiss and set the follow-up jury trial for September 12th. Sheridan claims she was let go from the show shortly after complaining that show creator Mark Cherry hit her in the head in 2008. Pop singer Jessie J has denied the claims of an unofficial biography that she is a lesbian and that bisexuality was a more appealing public identity to take on. The book, Jessie J, Who's Laughing Now, states that the musician identified as lesbian in private circles since she was 17, but that music executives urged her to adopt a bisexual persona. And the Billboard Music Award nominations have been announced. British singer Adele is up for 18 nominations. LMFAO received 17 nods. And Rihanna has 13 nominations this year. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hi, this is Amy Sedaris, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
Let's go to the
I'm Richard Knight Jr., and here's your Night at the Movies Minute. A quick, very positive shout-out to fans of the horror genre. You are highly encouraged to take a jaunt into the forest and visit The Cabin in the Woods, the truly scary, truly hilarious mashup of horror and sci-fi from Drew Goddard of Cloverfield, Lost, and Aliens fame, and his collaborator Joss Whedon on those and other projects. The movie, which has been in the vaults for nearly 3 years, tied up in MGM's bankruptcy, has finally seen the light of day, or rather, dark of night, and the wait has been worth it. It follows the familiar path of dozens of similar horror movies, with Evil Dead being the most prominent, but then takes a turn in the road, literally, and never looks back. For sheer inventiveness and for spinning the tired genre on its head, this big funhouse of a movie with no exit in sight really rewards your attention and welcomes your delighted scream. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Minute.
First you train, then you triumph. Join the Team to End AIDS Endurance Training Program and in a few months complete a marathon, half marathon, or a triathlon. Every 9.5 minutes, someone in the U.S. is infected with HIV. Change the story by supporting the AIDS Foundation of Chicago as they prepare you to go the distance in your event. Inspiring fitness, lasting friendships, saving lives. That's the Team to End AIDS. Register today at teamtoendaids.com.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater. Music. Dance. Art. Performance. Provocative. Hilarious. Exciting. Queer. Innovative. Campy. Edgy. Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of April 24th, 2012, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Victory Gardens Theater presents We Are Proud to Present a Presentation, a brave, funny new play about a group of actors who lose control of their play. Tickets are at victorygardens.org, another critical hit direct from the festival that brought you Chad Deity. Victory Gardens, We Are Proud to Present a Presentation. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hello, Deb Pierce here, letting you know that we'd love to hear back from you. So go ahead. You know you want to. Post a comment.
You better watch yourself with that one. He's got a way you won't suspect. You better watch yourself with that one. You won't know what you should protect. At first it seems like he's a sad one, and someone left him lost and blue. But you will find out he's a bad one, and soon there's nothing left of you. He'll come on slow and sweet, before you know it's sweet. You won't know the time of day. He'll take you by surprise, but once you're in his eyes, you won't have a thing to say. You better watch yourself.
Spider Saloff is one of the most respected and beloved jazz and cabaret artists in Chicago's music scene. She's a five-time MAC Award winner, including one for Best Female Jazz Vocalist. She's performed around the world. She has a rich discography that includes her latest CD, Cole Porter Live at Maxim's, which is one of my favorite places to hear music. That was released in 2008. And now she's returning to her roots, not only being here in Chicago, but her roots of theater with a new one-woman show, The Roar of the Butterfly, that will be playing here in Chicago in May before she heads to Off-Broadway. So we've got to catch her because she's doing this show hither and yon like the butterfly that she is. And I'm so thrilled to have her here on the Queercast for the first time. Hey, Spider, how are you?
I'm great, and I'm thrilled to be having this interview. This is a blast.
It's totally cool. You know, I moved here from Tennessee, I think in 94, I think. And you were one of the first singers I went to go hear, and I'm trying to remember where I heard you. And I've definitely, you know, seen you perform, you know, many, many times. But
oh, wow, great.
And I've interviewed thousands of people, and I've never had the opportunity to interview you until, you know, I heard about this show that you were doing. And so I was so excited to get you on because I think the gay community is going to be so interested in this show. And obviously, music fans and theater fans are as well. Are you a native Chicagoan?
No. I moved to Chicago apparently a year before you did.
Okay.
I moved here in 93 from New York City,
mm-hmm.
and originally from Philadelphia, and then lived most of my adult life in New York City, and then came to Chicago and fell in love.
Yeah.
And I adore this city, and I hope I stay here forever.
So Philly is a really rich musical town with some rich musical history. Were your early influences of music based on where you were from or your family, or what were those influences like for you musically?
You know, I would say my family is, they are people, they think I'm a space alien. they really don't know anything about music. I mean, they appreciated music, but music and theater is definitely not in my family at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved classic jazz and musical theater when I was a youngster, mm-hmm. and was very influenced by both.
Mm-hmm.
And then my formal training really was as an actress. Many people don't know that, but that was where I had my real formal training, not as a musician. And I went to school for theater, and I did a program at University of London when I was in college. And then I ended up in musicals because I could sing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in a lot of out-of-town shows and, you know, worked in the New York area. I was in two off-Broadway flops. And then that was discouraging. But then I started to work in nightclubs.
Mm-hmm.
In New York City and jazz rooms, and then my career kind of took a direct turn, and I didn't do much acting anymore, but I've always been in love with it. And I especially love character work. So I started developing this piece, and it has taken a long time to get it to this point, and I'm very, very excited about it.
So why, what was the seed of, was it the idea of the story that you wanted to tell, or you wanted to get back to doing theater again? What was that transition from going, okay, I'm singing in nightclubs, I'm having a fabulous career with this, I'm traveling around the world singing, I'm recording CDs, and I'm in a studio, and I'm in front of live audiences, to going, you know, I want to do theater, and there's this particular story that I want to tell? What was that transition?
You know, it's kind of a mesh of things. I felt like there's, you know, I had friends of mine who really know my background, and they said, you know, I would love to be able to see you really do your character work, you know, as an actress. People don't know, you know, how funny you are, or that you do all these characters, and you really ought to create a vehicle for this. So I started working on it, trying to develop an autobiographical piece that had these characters in it.
Mm-hmm.
That was a long time ago. That was back in 2001. I started to work on this. And I did it in three workshop performances. And then I said, you know, this is so not developed, and it's going to take up so much of my time. I don't think I can do this. So I put it away. And then when I released my CD, Like Glass, I began songwriting in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when I really realized, you know, maybe I should bring this back with an original score and develop it into, you know, a piece that really is unique, and it doesn't have music that is from other sources in it. So I started to revisit the piece in 2008, and then through that process, dropped the idea of it being autobiographical and turned it into a piece that is actually based on a true story.
Mm-hmm.
It is the entire show takes place at a memorial for an Asian drag queen named Butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
And Butterfly was a real person.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the characters in it are real people as well. They're based on real people. But what I did was I wove my story into his story.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the characters in it are all people that were affected by this one person. And it's essentially about how one person affects so many other people and how he changed all their lives. And many of these are unlikely characters, like why would they know an Asian drag queen and what was their relationship to this man and how he changed their life. So that was kind of the real adventure of creating this,
mm-hmm.
is weaving those characters into his life. And I basically wrote myself out of play. And I play eight characters in it. And there are nine original songs that I wrote all the music for it. And it's just been an exciting adventure.
Mm. Now, how did you meet Butterfly, the real Butterfly, the inspiration?
I met him when, and actually in the play takes place in a bar in New York that is called the Five Oaks, which was a real bar in New York, very famous bar in the Village. It is no longer here, but it was there for a very, very long time. And I actually met Butterfly when I was very young, and then re-met him later on. But that's part of the play. I don't want to give all that away.
No, sure.
You have to come and find out the details.
Sure. And tell us who some of these characters are that we will meet in you telling the story of the Roar of the Butterfly. Who are some of the diverse characters?
There is a faded stage star named Muriel Winslow, and there is a hairdresser from South Philly, a very tough-languaged Scottish waitress. There's a hippie poet from Chicago, a Lithuanian limo driver,
wow,
and a woman that's a banker from New York. And I'm trying to think, did I leave anybody out? there's the MC as well.
This feels very much like something that if you said, who, you know,
who would have provided inspiration for this type of work? You know, you'd think of a Tracy Ullman.
Oh, totally. Yes. It's very
male and female characters being created. And now, are you transforming yourself physically, or is that something that you do, or do you just do it with accents and body posture? And how does that happen for you?
Complete transformation.
They're complete transformations.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
I'm really excited about this. And also the show was in out-of-town tryouts, so to speak.
Yeah, I heard that you went to Australia, you went to California. I mean, just for our listeners, I mean, you got some fantastic reviews. I mean, Time Out Melbourne said that it was a fantastic musical comedy. The Herald Sun said, watching Spider Saloff change from character to character is truly wonderful, a privilege to watch, brilliantly written. And you were kind of going this all alone from what I've heard, because, you know, the big new news with it being in Chicago is that you've got a new director at the helm. You were kind of going it alone without a director there for a while.
This was crazy.
So who's your director, and why did you feel the need to bring her on?
I'll tell you what, when I started the show long ago, my original director was a close friend. He was an actor from New York named Greg Fellows. And he passed away during the whole process of rebirthing this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had another playwright from New York who's a friend of mine that was going to do it. He got too busy. Then the show was booked in Australia, and he said, you know, just do it yourself. Just go ahead and do it. So I didn't have any choice. And I basically directed the show myself for the two productions, the one that went to Melbourne and the one that went to Los Angeles last August. But then this is the first major production of the show, and we also have a wonderful set by Dennis May and lighting design by David Miller. And then I needed a director, and lo and behold, I had this amazing person that appeared in my life, Natalia Nogalich, who is a stellar film and stage actress as well as a director.
Yep.
And she lives in L.A. She happened to be here at the time that I started talking about this. And
she's a Chicago gal. I mean, she has some early roots with David Mamet. And I think if people see her picture, you know, they'll know who she is. She's that actress that works all the time, you know,
absolutely,
that maybe you don't know her name.
And she's an incredible talent. And when she read the piece, she said, I don't know. I want to see if I like it. Give me a few days. Within 24 hours, she called me up and said, I love this. The writing is beautiful. I want to work on this.
Mm-hmm.
So I was absolutely thrilled that she came on board to do this. And she's been a dream to work with. Totally, we are on the same wavelength. And I'm delighted with what she's doing with the show.
Yeah. Interesting. Now, do you portray the character of Butterfly, or is Butterfly evoked through people talking about Butterfly, and is Butterfly more enigmatic?
We all see him in our own minds through the description of other people.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's such a beautiful, beautiful idea. Now, you are going to be running here May 2nd through the 20th at the Victory Gardens Richard Christensen Theater on Lincoln, and I'll have information and all that attached here in just a minute, but the show is heading, you're going to go with that rite of passage and go to the Edinburgh Theater Festival, and then you are taking the show back to New York, where there, I'm sure, will be people who will show up who knew Butterfly, perhaps.
Well, I'm really excited about that. We are still working out the details, and I think the Edinburgh thing will probably be 2013. It won't be this year.
Okay.
We have to get through this run first.
Sure, sure.
But we're still working out details as to when it will be off Broadway.
That's so exciting.
And so we can't really answer any questions on that one right now. But
yeah,
it will be exciting. And so many of my friends in New York have been hearing about it developing for the past year. And they will be anxious to see it and to see if they're in it, too.
Yeah, exactly. You know, people, they always want to know if it has anything to do with them.
Have you immortalized me yet?
Exactly, exactly. So what do you think has happened for you? You know, I have a number of friends. I mean, I've been in the artistic world here in Chicago for long enough, and in the GLBT world. And there comes that point where you said, you know, I started writing my own music. And then once you start writing your own music, you start thinking, you know, you have a story to tell. And for those people like yourself who are interpreters of great songbooks and other songs, other people's music, what has it been like for you to find your own pen, to find your own voice? And why do you think it happened at that particular, has happened at that particular time in your career?
That's a really excellent question, because the writing of this piece evolved on different levels. First of all, expressing yourself through music is really, that's very dear to my heart because, mm-hmm. you know, I'm mostly known as a musician, and being able to interpret feelings that you're having. The way I love to work is I will start writing a lyric and then the melody kind of appears to me. It starts happening. Mm-hmm. And the things that changed the script as I was developing it, I had some very, very difficult things that happened. In 2008, my husband died suddenly. And then within a few months later, my original director, Greg Fellows, passed away.
Right.
And then my mother died. And it was like there was all this loss. Mm. And the show is a comedy. I mean, it's got a lot of wacky characters in it. But that was when the writing of it really changed and the message became very powerful. Because it was this whole dilemma as I was writing it. It's like, am I going to go there where somebody actually talks about loss in this?
Yeah.
Where it takes a more serious turn. And then there are some other serious subjects that come up in it.
Sure.
And when I made that decision, I started writing this song about writing this song about what it is like to lose someone. And I was on a train, and it just kept coming. This song just kept coming and coming, and it was like, okay, I'm crying all the way there. I'm singing the melody into my cell phone, and this thing just evolved, and it came out as this expression of what it's like to lose someone, but also a way to handle it, a way to let that evolve, let that be the butterfly as well, and another transformation.
Yeah.
Of taking loss, and you're not just left with nothing. You are left with something.
Right.
And so anyway, that was, there's so much about experiences that I had that ended up inside this show, which is why it feels so good to be able to share that with the world.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, you know, have someone else find strength in that to, you know, really share that with other people, that you're not left with nothing.
Well, and it's so beautiful because, you know, you're talking about transformation, you know, and passages and, you know, and the central character is a drag persona, you know, who transitions into an illusion or a personality. You're talking about the transition of loss. You're talking about the transition of a singer into a singer-songwriter, you know, or a person who used other people's words and now is transitioning into using your own words. And, you know, there's a maturity and an evolution to all of that, the butterfly is a perfect metaphor, right? I mean, this cocoon, the frustration of all of that, the whole caterpillar to a butterfly type of thing that, you know, we go through the struggle, we go through the push and pull and the life, so to speak, to get to the other sides of the many journeys of our life. And it sounds like this is going to be a rich journey, not only for you, Spider, but for us as an audience member.
I do hope so. And I really hope everyone leaves there feeling that they've been transformed in some way from the message. And it's, you know, it's really a fun show. It's a feel good experience.
Now, what else is on your plate? Because, you know, I know this thing has been a part of your life now for many, many years. And I know right now you're totally focused on the May performances at Victory Gardens. But, you know, are you still touring? Are you performing? Is there a new CD, new concerts? Tell me what else is going on and how people can follow what you're doing.
Well, if they go to spiderjazz.com, you can check out my performances that are coming up. And I certainly have some performances like right now that are, I perform at least once a month at Katarina's Supper Club, which is on the north side. And also I am involved in another fabulous project that I adore, and that is the Three Ellas concert, which is a tribute to Ella Fitzgerald that I have been doing with my two partners, the fabulous Frida Lee and Dee Alexander. And the three of us have been performing this concert not only with the Chicago Jazz Orchestra, but also as a trio concert. And this August 30th, we will be featured at Millennium Park with the Chicago Jazz Orchestra. And we will be singing Ella's real big band, huge arrangements with a full orchestra that were arranged for her.
Oh, that's fantastic. And it's a great venue down there.
Oh, that'll be a trip, yeah. So I'm very excited about that coming up, too.
And you've been working on a show, or you had worked on a show and are continuing to work on a show about Chet Baker, is that right?
Oh, yes, yes. Thank you. I forget what I'm doing.
Because we have listeners not just in Chicago, so I like to tell people that are in other states, you know, and around the U.S. that might see you somewhere there in Chicago.
Oh, yes, wonderful. And the Chet Baker concert, I've been doing that with author James Gavin, who wrote the book Deep in a Dream, that is about the very dark life of Chet Baker. And James Gavin and I created a musical concert with narration from the book where he makes a public appearance, and he'll read passages from the book, but it's all scored to music. And with the help of Chicagoan Dennis Luxin, who is in the book, he actually toured with Chet Baker, he arranged this musical evening that is this telling of the story of Chet Baker laced with songs that he featured throughout his life. And that's a wonderful project, and we did the concert last August. We were in San Francisco at Yoshi's, and we will be doing it again. And we definitely have some bookings for 2013, and we do it in Chicago every couple of years or so.
Yeah.
We were actually in Chicago a year ago with it, and that is currently going to be doing some touring, so always check that out too.
Well, it's all very exciting. If you want to follow where Spider is, and if you're not in the Chicago area and you want to see if maybe she might come to a town or location near you, or pick up one of her discs, because the music you're hearing in today's show is all Spider, you can go to spiderjazz.com. We'll have that linked in our show notes. Spider Saloff's one woman musical experience, I would say, transformation, I would say. The Roar of the Butterfly is playing at the Victory Gardens Richard Christensen Theater, fantastic venue, 2433 North Lincoln Avenue. It's only running May 2nd through the 20th, so get your tickets now. They're very reasonable. Tickets are $25 through $32. If you'd like information, you can call VG at 773-871-3000, or you can just link through victorygardens.org. We'll have that linked in our show notes as well, so you can purchase those tickets. I know I will be there at one of the early shows, so I can tell all of you about it on a future podcast here in May. But Spider, it's been great having you here. Congrats and break legs with the show, and we can't wait to see you roar and tell us the story of Butterfly.
Thank you so much, Amy.
You better watch yourself with that. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.